You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, Houston's First, it is so good to be back. I'm so excited to be back. We had a great time where we took a little time away, and I want to say thank you, first of all, to our church on just what a gift it is to be able to have a sabbatical time where I can get away a little bit, I can study, I can be with my family, I can rest, I can have dessert every night. I think that was the key of a great sabbatical, and so that was wonderful. And it was just incredible. We went to Colorado for a few days, for about 10 days, and then we were around here as well, and we just had a great break. And so it is so awesome to be back, to be ready. We're going to do the five conversations of Christ. He had many conversations, no doubt about it, but as I was looking through, in particular, we're going to be in the book of Luke for the next 5 weeks and looking at these different conversations that he had where it just says, and Jesus said, and he began to talk and began to share and to begin to talk about the things that were going on. So we're going to talk about distractions today. We're going to talk about anxiety next week and worry, humility after that, surrender, discouragement, and then we're going to jump in after Labor Day into a book of the Bible, and I will tell you in a few weeks what that book of the Bible is going to be. I know what it is. I just want to get you ready for it because you're going to be really excited, and I think you're going to go, whoa, okay, we're going for it on this book of the Bible. So, but I just want to get a little bit more of just put the bait out there for you, the seed out there to get you excited, and I'll let you know about that in just the next couple weeks. But man, I'm so glad you're connected with us. Such a joy. It's so good to be back. This is a special day for me because I'm back and I get to be with you, even in this way. I get to be back in the office. I get to be back in ministry in this way. This is so special. On this day, I've been looking forward to this day. But it's also a special day for another reason. Today is our 23rd anniversary of my marriage. So Kelly and I, 23 years to be able to be married. So I thought you'd get a kick out of this little picture. See if you recognize these kids. How about that? 23 years ago on this very day, we got married. And let me tell you what, I just want to encourage you. If you're going through a difficult time in your marriage, if you're single, whatever it is, I want you just married and doing great. It's been a great 23 years. We get a lot of bad talk about marriage, but I want you to know it's gotten better over these 23 years, and which has been awesome and incredible, and just I love her so much, and she's actually here today rooting me on as she's listening to her probably 1,000,000th message by me in these 23 years, but I'm glad to celebrate with you. I'm glad to celebrate 23 years of marriage, and I'm so glad we've got the Bible as well, that we can jump in and look at this verse of Scripture. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's the very last part of Luke chapter 10, and it's going to give us a passage of Scripture that's something that we really need to hear. Something that we need to understand because we live in a world of distractions. Even as so many things have been moved out of the way, there are still so many distractions that exist in our life. So look, if you will, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Grab your Bible, grab it on your phone, get it online, whatever it is, but here it goes. While they were traveling, he entered a village, that's Jesus and the disciples, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." Verse 41. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her." Now, here's where we are in the setting. Jesus and the disciples come into this village. What village is that? It's the town of Bethany. It's about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Just a small little town. I've actually been there before. We would pull in and out as you're going in and out of Jerusalem, seeing different places. You can come through Bethany a lot. And so this is Mary of Bethany that they're talking about here. It's not Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's Mary, not Mary Magdalene. It's not the other Mary. It's Mary of Bethany. That's who we're talking about in this passage. Now, what's interesting is Mary of Bethany has got a sister. Her name is Martha. Most likely Martha is the older sister. Why do we think that? Well, because she's kind of running the show in the house, and it says that it was her house. So Mary and her older sister, most likely Martha. They had a brother that you might have heard of. His name is Lazarus. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? So you get that later on, and you end up with Mary and Martha weeping over Lazarus. So that's the family unit. We don't hear about their parents. Now, when we don't hear about their parents, there's an assumption that can be made. Most commentators make the assumption that their parents have died. So Jesus is coming in to this home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, that they're one family together, and here they are. So we know Mary and Martha are living together in this home, and he comes in, and we've got a choice that we're going to see here. Are we going to live in Martha mode, or are we going to live in Mary mode? Which are we going to do? Are we going to live in Martha mode, which we'll talk about first? And that's a busy mode. That's a distracted mode. That's a moving all over the place mode. Or are we going to live in a Mary mode, which is a sovereignty of God, worship of the Lord? God, you've got this all under control. Are we going to fret? Or are we going to be able to rest before him? So let's talk about the Martha mode first. I find with my personality that I live in Martha mode a lot. I find with our world, living in Houston, Texas, we live in Martha mode a lot. You got to go. You got to move. You got to get on the freeway. You got to make that turn. We all know in Houston, if you miss your turn in Houston, with all the construction going on that happens all the time, if you miss your turn, it may cost you 30 minutes. You could pay dearly by missing the exit to get back around to it. So we're in Martha mode, freaked out, trying to get everything together. Now, here's what I want you to know about Martha mode, though. Let's say this. First and foremost, Martha is a good person concerned with good things. Martha is a good person concerned with good things. Martha, a lot of times, gets thrown under the bus. It's like, Martha and Thomas, let's just kind of throw them out. No, it's okay to have questions like Thomas. It's okay to be busy like Martha. She's a good person, and she's concerned about good things. Let me show you in John chapter 11, verse 5. Here's what it says in that place. It says, "And now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus." That's that family unit I was telling you about. Jesus agaped is what it would say in the Greek. He loved Martha. Busy people are not bad people. But we've got to be able to be aware and make sure we don't get the pedal down too far, or what will happen is our busyness and our distraction will turn into worry and then into upset and then into distraction. We'll see that in just a second. Here's the deal. Martha is doing good things. Her hospitality stress shows respect for her guest. When you have people over at your house, there's hospitality stress. Is everything set? Is the table ready? Are the forks washed? Is the food going to be good? Did we vacuum? Did we dust? All of those things. That's a good deal. Her hospitality stress also shows, though, her dysfunction. And it shows that maybe there was a deeper need to impress. Maybe it wasn't about the meal. Maybe it wasn't about Jesus even. Maybe it wasn't even about her home. Maybe it was actually about her. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says in his study Bible on this passage. Martha's thoughts are not on Jesus. They are not on Mary. They are not on the meal. They are on Martha herself. Worry is winning the day. Aren't we so often like Martha? Hear this sentence. Self-focus chokes our ability to distinguish incidentals from essentials. Hear that. Self-focus chokes our ability to distinguish incidentals from essentials. It siphons our joy so that we become judgmental. Like Martha, we need to learn to listen to the Savior's voice. So Martha's a good person. Martha's doing good things. But I bet if we were to really get into Martha's heart, it's really not about them. It's not about the Lord. It's about her. And what I find is when I go into Martha mode and I keep moving forward too fast, it's really not about the task. It's not about what I'm trying to get done. I can couch it in, well, I just want to do great for the kingdom of God. It can also be the truth of the heart being, I just want Greg to look good. And so the dysfunction can actually come into our hearts. So here's a question for us. Why do you live in Martha mode? Well, I got to get things done because I got to provide for my kids. It may be about your kids, but it may be about you. Well, I got to do this because this is the kingdom of God and I got to get some things done and I really want to make an impact. Yes, and I've got some feelings in my heart of I need to prove myself. So Martha mode can be a lot about Martha. See, Martha's problem is focus. Too many things. Nobody's saying don't clean the house. Nobody's saying don't have a good meal. I mean, Jesus has showed up for dinner. I mean, this isn't your boss showing up. This isn't your teacher showing up. This isn't your friend showing up. This is the Savior of the world showing up to your house in Bethany. And so, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of panic to try to get things ready. But remember, Martha is distracted by good things, even spiritual things, but you could get too many of them and it can get your view off the Lord. I've said this to our staff and I've said this to my heart many times. Good things, but you can get so many of them, they take your view off the Lord. Here's what I've said to our staff and what I've said to our heart, and I say to you, don't let your ministry ruin your Christianity. Don't let your ministry ruin your Christianity. That in particular, for those of us who are in vocational ministry, we're all in ministry. If you're a believer in Christ, you are in ministry. Some of us are in vocational ministry. Don't let your ministry ruin your Christianity. Don't let something good ruin the ultimate identity. Don't let your parenting, don't let your activities, don't let your sports students, don't let your involvement students, don't let your grade students, don't let that ruin your heart for God. Because you get so many things. What does it say in Matthew? Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Christianity is about prioritization. And the prioritization is not about Stephen Covey getting things to do. It's about saying, Lord, I want to prioritize you, and you are my number one focus. That's what I want to be about. Martha was distracted. That Greek word for distracted means to be drawn away from. It means to be pulled apart. It means to be preoccupied in mind. The opposite of attentive. Have you ever been drawn away? Distracted. Pulled apart from? Distracted. Just this week, Kelly was out of town. I was in town. We FaceTimed, so I'm on my phone. She's on her phone. We're FaceTiming. And like any good husband being efficient, men, you'll particularly get a kick out of this. I'm FaceTiming, and right over the top of the phone is the Astros, okay? Can you see the problem forming? What's about to happen? So I'm sitting there FaceTime. Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I'm yeah to things I should be. No. And I'm yeah. And then I'm no. Yeah. But I'm doing this until finally she goes, what are you watching? That's what the Astros are on, you know, and it's only half a season. I got 60 games. That's all I got. I got to watch every one of them, every pitch. So I'm looking up, and she says this, and wives just go, amen, and nudge your husband right now on the couch. She goes, you know, you're really bad at doing that. I can tell when you do that. She wasn't hot about it or mad about it. And I was like, I totally get it. I'm distracted from the conversation I need to be having. To watch here, I could put it on pause, watch it later. I'm not going to watch every pitch, every inning. I'm not going to watch every game. It's still a lot of games. So I finally did this. I moved from sitting this way on the couch. We have kind of an L-shaped couch. I moved to sitting this way on the couch. And now I'm looking at her, and then when she would look down, I'd do this, and then I'd come back. Distracted. We get distracted. And Jesus is saying, I want you, if you'll just put your eyes on me, you'll put your eyes on me. It'll take care of a whole lot of other things. You know, we've had a lot of distractions removed in this time of COVID. I mean, we've our schedules have all been just taken down. I mean, right now you're watching at home. You didn't have to get ready. We're going to come back together, and I want you to come back if you feel comfortable when we get the date set and all that sort of stuff. But to be able to just think of how many distractions have been removed of even getting ready. You can focus, but now there's other distractions in your home. Of somebody's in the kitchen, and somebody's doing this and that and all these different things. But so many distractions have been removed, but, you know, we still are distracted people. Let me show you a few pictures just of kind of pre and post COVID to just illustrate this point. Let me show you Jerusalem. I mean, literally, this is 2 miles from where we're talking about. Jerusalem, the top picture is where Jerusalem is just packed. And then this is after the COVID type thing that's happening. I've been to Jerusalem and seen that. This is the Spanish Steps of Rome, another very biblical place. Apostle Paul and Peter and all sorts of folks. The top, the Spanish Steps, packed. I've been there. Man, that's a packed place. And then look at them in the COVID time. We've got here Times Square of New York. Times Square's always buzzing, always something going on there. You've got the pre, you got the post, very different of what's happening. Now we get to home turf here a little bit for us. We got Minute Maid Park, just talking about that. Remember when we'd go down there and we'd all get together and get hot dogs and have all that fun and do all that stuff and get the cheap seats at the top or get the nice seats at the bottom? And now we got cardboard cutouts with Orbit in Crawford boxes. And we still get a little nervous because the cardboard cutouts are too close together. I mean, and nobody's wearing masks in the cardboard cutouts. We've had so many distractions removed, but here's what I want you to hear. We are a distraction vacuum cleaner as a human being. All that's been removed, but have we spent more time with Jesus? Have we worshiped deeper in our life? Have we really trusted him deeper? See, we just crave distractions. Why? Because a settled heart is a scary place to be. A settled heart is a scary place to be. Because I really got to deal with that relationship issue. Then I got to really deal with that pride issue in my heart. Now I have to really deal with how I see my brother or my sister. Now I have to really deal with these things. And in really dealing with that, sometimes that can be uncomfortable. So we want to just stay distracted. But here's what will happen as we wrap up this Martha part and then we jump into Mary. Here's what happens. I want you to look. Here's the result. The result is this. Let me actually read verse 40 through 42 again. Let's go back to the scripture, and then I'm going to give you the point. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care?" Now let me tell you what. When you go to Jesus and you say, "Lord, don't you care?" You better know what you're talking about, okay, at that point. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me," notice it's not about the meal, it's not about I'm not going to give you a good meal, Jesus, "has left me to serve alone." It's about Martha. "So tell her," understood you, "tell her to give me a hand." Uh-oh. Now Jesus is going to calmly say, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about a bunch of things." Here's what's happened. Here's the result. Let's take this whole thing out. The result, distraction, many things, has resulted in worry. Worry has resulted in her becoming upset. Upset has resulted in emotional leakage. And the emotional leakage is going to backfire on her with Jesus' comments. You see that? So what happens? She's distracted. There's so many things to do. We got to get ready. Jesus is coming over. Good stuff. Hospitality stress. This isn't going to be good enough. I want to look better in front of these people. Worry, worry, worry. Can you see her in the kitchen? I can't believe Mary is out there while I'm in here. I've been doing this all. I'm the older sister. She needs to get in here as the younger sister. This is my house. What's she doing out there when she needs to be? I'm always the one. Can you see it? Going, going, going. Now upset till finally the dish rag goes down. The spatula's hit down, and then she walks out to Jesus, hand on hips, and emotional leakage comes out. Let me tell you what, be careful in your marriage. Distraction will lead to worry. Worry will lead to upset. Upset will end up to emotional leakage. Have you ever said in your marriage, bam, after 23 years, I have said something, as soon as it gets to here, you're like, give me that back. What happens? It's emotional leakage. And then it backfires. You win the battle, but you begin losing the war in your marriage. You say something to your kids, you say something to your employer, you say something to a friend, and that emotional leakage ends up being a backfire against it. And what happens, listen to this, sometimes our dysfunction has actually been a blessing to us through the years, and then it turns on us. So you're busy, go, 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 has been a blessing to you, and now it's turned on you, you got an ulcer. Your get it done, make it happen, doesn't matter what it costs, has gotten you to a place, but now you're at a place and you look around, you don't have very many friends and people are a little bit afraid of you. Emotional leakage begins to be a backfire. So now she leaks emotionally, hands on the hip, dish rag thrown down, pot cooking and arms crossed, hands on hips, and Jesus goes, "Martha, Martha." And don't you know in the second Martha, she went, "Oh, no. Ugh, Why did I do that? We are distraction vacuums. Families, watch your activities and how much you're involved in as a family. Do you eat dinner together? Not just COVID time, but usually. Kids, watch your commitments. You can't say yes to everything. Adults, be aware of your stress load. We all have 24-hour jobs now because of email and texts and all the things that we can log into at home. Singles, utilize your freedom for deeper things than just running around and having fun. God wants to use you for deeper things. We are distraction machines like vacuum cleaners sucking in distractions because a settled life is different. It's odd. It's scary. It's risky. And maybe your dysfunction has actually been the path of your success, but it can turn on you. Distractions can keep us from dealing with deeper issues. Last little illustration on this point here. I don't know if you've seen Hamilton either on Broadway or Disney Plus. But Hamilton was going, boom, 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 boom. I'm actually reading the book. It's 800 pages. I don't think I'm going to get through the whole thing. But reading the book that inspired the play. Well, there's this one song in the play where finally Alexander Hamilton, he's been writing like he had no tomorrow. He'd been writing and writing and getting all these things done. And finally he stops and he realizes there's something more in life. And here's the song. It's called It's Quiet Uptown. It says the Hamiltons move uptown and they live to learn with the unimaginable. Their son was killed. I spend hours in the garden, he says. I walk alone to the store. It's quiet uptown. I never liked the quiet before. I take the children to church on Sunday, a sign of the cross at the door, and I pray that never used to happen before. He slows down because he'd been running from so many different things, and he finally slows down. That's Mary. She finally slows down. Look at verse 39. Verse 39 says this, and she had a sister named Mary, who also, I like that because Martha's going to get to the feet, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. How do we live in Mary mode? We live in Mary mode. Again, this is Mary of Bethany. This is not Jesus's mom. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary of Bethany. How do we live there? Here's the deal. One thing was chosen. One thing was chosen. It says in verse 42, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice. Now, here's what we've got to hear. It's a choice. It's a choice. Going on sabbatical. I went on sabbatical. It took me about 10 days to simmer down. It's a choice to take your hand off the wheel. And there'll be a buzz in your heart. We'll talk about anxiety and worry next week. There'll be a buzz in your heart, a buzz in your life, a franticness of keeping things going. You got to keep moving. Do you ever find that when you sit, you keep doing this, or your knees keep doing this, or you're just better at standing up, or when you're on the phone, you walk around and you pace, all these different things. It's a choice to have a seat. It's a choice to get out your Bible. It's a choice to put in your headphones and worship. It's a choice to not do those things. To do the one thing that was there. It was a choice. She chose to be still. She chose to listen. Hear this. She chose the heart over activity. She chose relationship over task. She chose worship over worry. She chose surrender over stress. She chose unhurried over upset. She chose sitting over fretting. We have to make the choice. Now, the Greek word for listening in this was to hear, to acknowledge, to understand, to heed. It's to hear with attention, to be attentive. When I was on the phone with the Astros behind Kelly on FaceTime, and I'm watching, I was not hearing with attention. I was hearing, but I wasn't hearing with attention. So I was and when I should have been saying when I should have been and tell me more when I went, oh, really? And so is there a tension that happens in our relationship with the Lord? A really introspective question. COVID has removed all sorts of stuff. You've been given time back in hours a week, have you grown as a worshiper? Have you grown as a worshiper? Have you grown as a lingering person at the feet of Jesus? Or have you just put other things in the place of what's happening? In my life, just tell you a couple things I've done, did for sabbatical, and I just removed some apps from my phone so that when I was bored, I wouldn't grab it and start doing this. I found that I was looking at the news 2 times an hour, and now I'm trying to look at it more like 2 times a day. I found that I was just scrolling social media, seeing different things. And to just remove some apps, whether it's games or social media or news or whatever from your phone, to be able to just disconnect from some things, to be able to be a worshiper. See, Mary realized the relationship was the most important thing. I remember one time we were cleaning our house, having some people over, you know, in a pastor's home. We've had a bunch of people over for a long, long time type thing. And we were cleaning like crazy and going. And our way of doing it is we clean like crazy, we work like crazy, and then about 15 minutes before, we sit down on the couch and we act like, oh, we've just been waiting on you. There's nothing going on. Come on in. Oh, that old thing, right? And I was cleaning and I was kind of into a Martha mode of I was worried about me and us and all that sort of stuff. And then I thought this. And no offense, I don't even remember who was coming over. I thought this. This is a phrase I thought. If these people are coming over to inspect our house with a white glove, then they're not our friends anyway. If they're coming over to inspect our house with a white glove, they're not our friends anyway. True friends come over and just plop down on the couch. Let's just talk and hang out together. Mary chose what was necessary and good. Here's the thing, the last point of Mary. Mary's choice was necessary and secure. Necessary and secure. Did you see what he said in verse 42? Look back at your Bible. But one thing is necessary. And Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Necessary and secure. The conversation with Christ about distractions are, there are things that are necessary and secure. Much of our busyness is unnecessary and fleeting. That's why the world's gone on without all the parties we were going to have. It's unnecessary and fleeting. Look how much has been canceled in COVID. A lot of it was unnecessary. Fun, good, exciting, but unnecessary. Life went on. There are things that are necessary. A relationship with Christ is necessary. Things that are secure. We've seen how much can be taken away from us. But you know what? Not one good thing from God has been taken from you. You've lost a lot. I've lost a lot of activity. Not one thing of God has been taken from you. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, it says in the New Testament. My spiritual gift is still in my heart. Jesus still resides in my life. I can still pray to him and connect with God. I can still worship through song. I can still hear his voice. I can still walk with him. I can still share Christ with people. I can still disciple people. I can still be a great parent. I can be a great husband. You could be a great single adult. You could be an amazing widow. You could be an amazing widower. You could be a senior adult that shines with Jesus in the sunset of your life. All of the great things of God you and I still possess. No pandemic has taken a thing away from God. He is still on his throne. Now our activities have decreased, but what we have is necessary and secure. So before I wrap up and give you kind of an action step, I just want to say to you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, of all the folks that are watching today and will watch as they watch further on into the week, Jesus Christ is still alive, resurrected from the grave, and wants to be your number one focus in your life. Would you trust him with your life as Savior? I know you've done bad stuff. I've done bad stuff. We've all done bad stuff. It's called sin, and it's terrible, and we still do it. But Jesus, he comes with his grace, and his grace is irrevocable. He gives it to you. You can abide in him, and he in you. The old is gone. The new has come. You are a new creation when you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and no pandemic can take that away from you. It's not found on the S&P 500. It's not found in the economy. It's not found on the streets. It's not found in it. You can't buy it. You can't sell it, you can't lose it, and you can't gain it. Jesus Christ grants it to you through a salvation relationship, through trusting him as Savior. And if you do know Christ as Savior, I ask you this, are you a worshiper? Do you sit at the feet of Jesus at the feet of Jesus. Let me just ask you a couple questions. I'm not asking if you sing when we play worship music. I'm not asking if you're demonstrative. A lot of that can be personality. There's some folks, and they're going to be like this, and I mean, they're going, it's just their personality. And other folks are going to put their hands in their pocket, and, you know, it's just a personality. They're a little bit more reserved. But what's happening in the heart needs to be uniform across all believers. So let me just ask you a couple questions. Are you a worshiper? When's the last time you've been on your knees before God? Have you been on your face before God recently? Have you laid down prostrate before your Heavenly Father in your bedroom, in your office? Have you knelt before God? Have you laid down before God? Have you lingered before God? Have you just sat with Him? Have you gotten to a verse lately that's just stopped you? Just stopped you and you went, whoa. I'm reading Acts right now in my time alone with the Lord, and I got to this verse, and it said that the Pharisees and the high priest, or the Sadducees, the high priest, and all of their people were jealous of the disciples. Why were they jealous of a ragtag group of people? And I just sat there and pondered that, and I think it was because they had passion, they had purpose. Do you linger before the Lord? Do you kneel before the Lord? Are you on your face before God? When we sing, if you're not a real sing kind of person, you don't really do it, do you read the lyrics and go, oh, yeah. When we sing, Christ be magnified from north to south, from east to west, if all of creation was articulate, it would declare Christ be magnified. Did you go, wow? Do you ponder these things? Do you engage your heart? Do you ever worship individually, spontaneously? Just you and God, does that ever happen? If you went, no, 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 I want to just bring you to the feet of Jesus and allow you to see Him face to face. He's that good to put you on your face before Him and take some of those things and put them into action. If you went, yes, 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 went, ooh, I'm something. No, you're not. No, you're not. You never come with a heart of worship thinking, I'm something. You always come with a heart of worship saying, you're everything. You're everything. Let me give you action steps and one last song that I want to tell you about. How do we become more like Mary and less like Martha? How do we become more like Mary and less like Martha? Here's the Mary plan. I want us to form a Mary plan. So take notes, okay? Write this down. Take a screenshot when we get them all up, whatever it is. Number one, I'm going to give you quickly five things in like about 1 minute. My Mary place. Where's your Mary place? Where's a place in your home? Where's your place where you can be, that you can have a Mary place where you can say, and write that down, put that in that little blank where it is. For me at our home, it's the front room or it's the back porch. Those are my two Mary places, and also before bed, sitting in my bed, but reading before I go to sleep. But to be able to have our front room is there. But you know what? I found an amazing Mary place in Colorado, and it was looking at mountains. That was pretty amazing. A Mary place of worship. Where's your Mary place? Because you got to make a choice. Not going to just happen. Where's your Mary place? Number two, where's your Mary time? Is your Mary time when right after the shower, right after you get up and have breakfast, where's your Mary time? I don't have a Mary time. Then you'll never get to a place of sitting down to really worship the Lord. Where's your Mary time? The morning, the night. You don't have to choose. You can do the morning and the night and in the middle of the day. Where's your Mary time? Number three, this is just for me and for you, I think. What's your Mary song? What's your Mary song? What's a song you love? Maybe it's an amazing hymn. Maybe it's something brand new. Maybe it's a song you sing to God. What's your Mary song? Put on some headphones. Play it on your phone. You get music all different ways now. I mean, put it on radio at your home. I mean, whatever, cassette deck, whatever you got. Find your Mary song and listen to that song and put it your heart there. What's your Mary verse? My Mary verse, I just give you this one for free. The Mary verse, you can take this verse of scripture right here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. So you at least got one blank. And then ask the question, what's my Mary growth? What's my Mary growth? What do I need to be growing that's been distracting me that I need to be able to grow in that? 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear that the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning and that your minds may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. This is going to help us to have a complete and pure devotion to Christ. Now, we'll leave that up for a second. Pull out your phone. Take a picture of it right there where you are. Take a screenshot on your laptop. If you don't know how to figure all that out, start scribbling with a pencil to be able to do it. And if you still can't figure that out, then go back when we put it online, and you can watch it again. I want to read to you the lyrics of a song as we wrap up this thought, this conversation that Jesus had with Mary and Martha. This was my song of sabbatical. This is my favorite song of sabbatical, okay? It was a new one to me. I had not heard of the guy that wrote it. I had not heard of the song. I was listening to Spotify, and it just said, another song you might like, and I thought, well, that's an interesting title, and so I listened to it and fell in love with it, and you can hear, you can ask my family, he's driving us crazy with this song, okay? So I'm going to put this, and we'll play it at the end of our webcast as well. We'll play it as the slides are going, and you can just sit back and listen to it. It's by a guy named Will Reagan, who I don't know, in a group called United Pursuit. I don't know these people, but I really like this song, and it's called Not in a Hurry. It's really soulful. It's got a great soulful vibe to it, and here's what it says. Lord, I'm not in a hurry. Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. Now hear it. Hear this chorus. And see if you can sing it in your heart. I want to sing it in my heart. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to your presence, when it comes to your voice. I'm learning to listen, to just rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking. I'm not in a hurry. Let me tell you what. I've been in a hurry for about 30 years, and I want a heart that's not in a hurry, because I can find that my dysfunction that brought me success can turn on me as I get older. And instead, I want to continue growing as a worshiper of Jesus. So the first conversation of Christ is about distractions. Next week, we're going to talk about worry and anxiety. Then we're going to talk about humility. Then we're going to talk about surrender. Then we're going to talk about discouragement. Then we're going to jump into that book of the Bible that you're wondering what we're going to talk about. You're going to love it, I promise. But to be able to put that all together, not in a hurry, let's sit at the feet of Jesus. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Father, anybody within the sound of my voice in this time, I pray, Father, that they would turn to Jesus Christ, maybe in homes all over our city and our nation. Maybe some of you in your home right now, you need to get on your knees before Jesus. You need to get on your face before God. Whatever it is, let's be Mary's instead of Martha. Martha's a great person doing great things. But let's have the right heart of worship before Him. We love you, Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can connect with us in the chat. You can text us at 41411. Pray first. We'll connect with you. Pray right there and say, Jesus, forgive my sins and be my Savior. We trust you, Lord. Ask Jesus to wash you clean. Place your faith upon Him. If you're already a believer in Christ, can I just call you to be a deeper worshiper? And yes, that comes through singing. And yes, that comes through listening. But let's be worshipers of Jesus Christ. And let's be Mary's. And live a secure life with the necessary things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.